Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, do you have a legal question, a legal problem, or maybe just a problem? I'm here to help you for the next 52 minutes. And it's no commercial show, straight through. Just me and you, and if I can help you, all you have to do is to call. So it could be about any problem, but any legal situation. We'll take a lot of questions on wills and trusts and estate planning and family law and real estate law and next-door neighbor problems and problems on the job. And if you have a difficult situation you're in, maybe you didn't lost a little sleep during the night, and you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number. Or just a problem question, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And phone lines are open. And I am here to help, and hopefully you'll be listening to the show. And if you have a question, you'll call. And hopefully if you are listening and someone else calls, and maybe some of the facts of that circumstance could apply to you, and maybe you'll get some helpful advice and or information to help point you in the right direction. And that's the whole purpose of the show. Show's been on for close to 35 years now. Next, in September, will be 35 years of Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. And it's the longest running continual show in Florida, and I'm glad to be here. Anybody I can help on a Saturday morning, that's great for me, hopefully great for you. Again, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. We're broadcasting today from Jacksonville, Florida. We have an office here in Jacksonville. Met clients yesterday here in Jacksonville. We our host station, Salem Communication in Tampa, receives the calls and everything. So it's kind of a unique system. We're on about 14 stations around Florida. And if you have a number, the toll-free number is 877-943-9673. We do have offices in Tampa, of course. We have two offices in Hillsborough County, two offices in Pinellas County. We have two offices in Polk County. We have offices in the Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages. We have offices in Trinity, Manatee there at Lakewood Ranch. We have office locations, and we have office location in St. Augustine. So we have multiple offices here. Most of our radio stations are geared to be in the communities that where we have our primary offices. Let's go to Tam in Tampa, our first caller. Hey, Tam.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. What can I do for
you? Yeah, I appreciate it. I was wondering what the statute of limitations is on evidence that is held and has been for years in the I guess it would be in the sheriff's station, or I don't know where they hold the evidence.
Well, what kind of crime was there involved?
Well, it was very, very messy back in the day, and my daughter is grown now, and she's wanting to pursue these things. But
was she charged with anything?
No, she was the victim. She was tiny. And there's evidence that could possibly prove that her dad is the perpetrator, and she's terrified, you know, of him. He's a very large.
Well, I think files are kept. I think files are kept and not destroyed. they're inactive files, and they have, the county has buildings of inactive files, and a lot of them used to be paper and have been converted to electronic digital files. But if there was a case of some sort, it's a good chance the file is still there.
Okay.
If you want the records, you can just call the county. You can go to the courthouse, and they can probably direct you as to how to get an old file or how to order an old file.
Okay.
All right?
All right. And do you know if there's a cost for that?
If you have the copies printed out, there's usually about $1 a page, I think.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate that, because she wants to pursue it, and I was thinking, wow, this is like...
Yeah, you can go down to the courthouse and tell them the name and see if they can backtrack into a file for you. And they should be able to tell you how many pages are in the file.
Okay.
And they'll tell you what the cost is per page.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for what you do.
All right, thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. And if you have a legal question, we're here to help you in any way we possibly can. All you have to do is to dial that number to be on the show. It's 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And the phone lines are open. And we are here to just help as many people as we can. So the only purpose of the show is to answer legal questions, talk about legal topics, and to answer legal questions. Hey, we might take a couple of calls if you want to comment about what's happening to the policeman in New York City. Man, what? That's awful. I've never seen a circumstance like that where the police, you can throw water on them. What else can you do to them? I mean, well, suppose it's not water. Suppose it's gas or oil or a little mixture of this or that or some type of liquid that will make you itch or be irritated or whatever. I mean, what's wrong? To me, that should just be a crime. I was listening to a radio, a little bit on the radio this morning coming into the radio station, and they have a congressman in New York City proposing they make that a crime. I mean, can you believe it's not a crime already to harass a policeman with dumping water on them and so forth? And that's kind of one of the worst things I've seen in a long, long time, on just the disrespect of police officers, and you have the right in New York City to throw water on them. I mean, give me a break. And I hope they do. You know, so I wonder whether the Congress people in New York City or the state council or city council and all that are either going to pass a law that's a crime. The policemen there just don't have much support. It's just surprising they have a police force there. It just seems like everybody would be just fed up with not having the support. All right, let's go to Marie calling. Marie, where are you calling from?
Valrico, Florida.
Valrico, what can we do for you?
Well, my husband died in January, and I was wondering if now I should write out a will. And if I wrote out my own will with my children witnessing it, would that hold up in Florida, or do I still have to go through probate?
Well, wills, when you die with a will, you do die. The will does go through probate.
I see.
And a child should not be, the child is an interested party, so there should be two non-interested, non-related people to witness your will. I'm sorry about your husband. Did he have a will?
Just what I just told you. He had a written will, and one of the children witnessed it. That's all.
Did he die with any assets just in his name?
No. There's the house is in my name, along with his.
So things were either jointly held or held... So things are jointly held or owned by you. Nothing just in his name.
How could I know of?
Yeah.
Okay, it's joint.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah. So if you have a will now...
Okay?
Yeah, well, jointly held assets automatically go to the survivor.
Right, okay.
So They would be yours, and now you need to do a will or a trust to leave it to your kids. If you want, do you own a home?
Yes.
So
there was another property.
The attorney you go to, and we see a lot of people from Valrico in their Sun City Center office, but the attorney you go to should go over the difference between wills and trust with you.
Okay.
And the main difference for most people is that a trust would avoid probate, make it quick and easy for the children to line the estate up. It's a private document.
Okay, very good.
And we give out our poster sheet, which I'll give the address for here in a few minutes. So if you want to get that and have something to look at before you meet with an attorney, that would be a good thing to do.
Okay, I appreciate that, Mr. Pippin.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Phone number to call if you want to call the show is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Joe in Largo.
Good morning, Mr. Pippin. How are you?
I'm doing good. And you?
Okay. Totally whacked out question, but how do you know the procedure for obtaining a noise suppressor for your firearm?
Do I know the procedure for what now?
Obtaining a noise suppressor for a firearm.
Well, have you been to a... Most people buy those in a gun trust, by the way. So you would get a suppressor into a gun trust and have the trust own it. And it's easier to buy it through a trust than it is through going to a gun store and doing it individually. But if you went to a gun store, they can probably walk you through the procedure.
Okay. And the gun trust, I think I asked once before, is that what was that, a $200 fee through your firm?
No, we would charge more than that, but...
Okay.
But we can...
The money doesn't matter, really.
Okay. All right, well, very good. I have a contact that does most of the gun trusts. We refer them to someone, but I still stay involved in the process that's associated with the National Rifle Association and keeps up to date on all the latest on gun trusts. So we kind of work with a third party on that for you.
Okay. All right, Joe. I'll be in touch. Thank you.
Actually, our gun trust contact here is right here in Jacksonville. That we, a real good guy that stays up to date on all the rules and regulations on gun trust, which is a unique area of the law, and he's associated with National Rifle Association, and he does a good job for us. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. And if you want to call the show, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. Let's go to Attorney John Frazier. Good morning, John.
Hey, Joe. How you doing today?
Good. John's our Medicaid VA attorney and calls in every so often with the Medicaid VA tip of the week. So what are we talking about today, John?
Today I'm going to talk about long-term care insurance and how it relates to Medicaid planning. In Florida, we have there's two types of policies. We have something called an indemnity policy and something called a reimbursement policy. For example, the indemnity policy may pay $100 a day, and a reimbursement policy may also pay $100 a day. But as far as Medicaid is concerned, the state of Florida treats an indemnity policy like it's income. So if you receive $100 a day, that's $3,000 a month, and then along with the person's Social Security and other income, that would put them over the Florida income cap, which is $2,313 per month in gross income, and we would need what is called a qualified income trust. So the other thing about long-term care insurance is typically most of our clients don't have it, and when they do, it is not enough to pay for the costs of a skilled nursing facility, which now, as of July 1st, of this month, the average cost of care in a nursing facility is $9,485 per month. So oftentimes, unfortunately, the long-term care insurance does not cover the entire cost of the stay in the nursing facility, and the person still has to apply for Medicaid.
John, how do you answer the question when someone asks you if you should I buy a long-term care policy?
I don't really tell them one way or the other. I don't discourage or encourage. I just tell them what the reality is, and to look at very closely at the policy. And also, if the person has long-term care insurance, I would never advise them just to drop it, because we never know what the Medicaid program is going to be like 10 to 15 years from now, given that the federal deficit is $22 trillion now, and it just continues to go up every year. So these federal programs may be curtailed at some point in the future.
The way I answer that question generally is, I have a Medicaid VA attorney that can usually reorganize your assets a little bit and qualify you for benefits, but I can't discourage you from buying a long-term care policy because we don't know how long all these rules are going to be in effect the same way they are today. I mean, that's how I generally answer that question. But
exactly.
All right, John. Well, someone is thinking, you know, we talk, when you call in, we talk about the cost of a nursing home is $8,000-$9,000 a month. And there are ways when people, they have a little three-test situation where they can figure out whether they qualify or not. And you'd be glad to talk to anyone who's thinking about going into a nursing home or wondering how to plan for it if they're already in a nursing home to protect their assets. So how do they contact you if they want to talk to you about this?
The office number is 727-586-3306, extension 104, cell phones 813-431-3193, and my email address is johnjohn@attypip.com.
So, John, I had a call up here in Jacksonville from a Largo client, and his question yesterday was, he had talked to me before, and I think you might have even met with him, but his wife wants to have a signed contract to provide the care that she's, you know, she's dedicated her life basically to helping her mother who's still in her home, and she's working 20, 30 or more hours a week, and now they want to create a little contract so she can be paid that wouldn't interfere with the Medicaid planning a little bit later on. Do you prepare those? Because I wasn't sure whether I should refer them to you or have you help me prepare one for him and he can come see me. Which would you prefer?
Well, it's called a personal services contract, and we actually do them all the time. We typically do them for individuals who are either in a nursing facility or going to a nursing facility in the relatively near future. The biggest downside with the personal services contract is that it's going to be taxable income. There's just no way around that, because it's a payment under a contract. So you have to weigh the income taxes versus the benefit, but it certainly could be done on a pre-planning basis also.
Does I just send them to you?
Absolutely. Be happy
to
talk to
you. All right, John. So if you'd like to contact Mr. John Frazier about VA Medicaid planning, his office number is 727-586-3306. That's extension 104. If you want to catch him on his cell phone, it's 813-431-3193. John, thanks so much for calling.
All right, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Nancy in St. Petersburg.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Nancy.
Joe, I have a question for you. I'm a widow, and I own a home. It's a prefab home worth probably $170,000. My two sons are on the deed with me on the home. I'm on Social Security, and I'm having a hard time with my car insurance. It's getting so expensive. It's over $2,000. The car is 11 years old. My question is, I'd like to lower it. I have 100, 300. And if I lower this down and I do have an accident, mm-hmm. and it's my fault, mm-hmm. can they attach my home?
No, ma'am. A homestead is protected in Florida.
Oh, so, wonderful.
So you probably can lower the... How old are you?
I'm 77.
77, okay. Have you shopped
and
around?
I have no savings to speak of at all. Pardon
yeah.
me?
Have you shopped around for insurance at all the different carriers?
I have. Yeah, I'm. That's what I'm trying to do right now. That's why I want to know if they could attach my house first before I lower my mm-hmm. insurance.
Let me ask you this. How much driving do you do a week?
I don't do much at all. I have, like, if I put 5,000 miles on a year, I don't mm-hmm. even do that.
You know, one thing you could consider is to get rid of your car. And with the limited driving you do, just take Uber. And you'll spend a lot less.
No.
You'll spend a lot less money.
I have a friend that will drive me around.
Oh, there you go. That's even better.
I know.
That's even better.
Yeah, it is.
But at some point, you're only doing less than 5,000 miles a year, you might just consider doing alternate transportation to different places and not have a car, because they do get expensive.
Just something to think about. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. I mean, I know people that don't even go to the grocery store anymore. They just, Publix and all these stores have delivery. And they make it so easy just to go on a computer and input your delivery. And it doesn't cost that much to do that, much extra, very little. And if you can get rid of a $2,000 a year car bill on it because you drive to the grocery store and that's your primary place you go, there are other ways to have food delivered to you, cut down on your driving, get rid of your car. Hey, just another little something for you to think about. Let's go to Michael in Sarasota. Hey, Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. I'm referencing an earlier caller that was asking you about a $200 fee that an attorney may charge for a suppressor or silencer for a firearm. What he was mistakenly referring to was there's a $200 tax stamp that you have to get from the federal government in order to purchase or possess a silencer or a suppressor for the firearm. So whether you have an attorney do that for you or the gun shop or you do it yourself, it's still a $200 fee to the federal government in addition to anything else that you must have in order to purchase or possess the silencer. So I just wanted to clear that up for the gentleman.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate all the help I can get on the show, so I really appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Mary in Sarasota.
Yes. Good morning, Joe. I'm calling to find out, and I don't know if you can answer my question, in regards to a death penalty trial, how many of the jurors have to come in to charge them? And,
well, I think it has to be unanimous. What? It has to be unanimous on a death penalty.
Okay, it has to be 12. Okay. And what do they have to consider? It can't be as simple as knowing the difference of right and wrong, is it?
Well, what do they have to... First of all, they have to prove the person did it. The person could have a defense that they were not mentally capable of understanding what they did, of course. They could use,
they understand what they did. They just realized they just never had any consequences for doing anything good or wrong or bad.
They didn't understand the consequences?
No, he never had any consequences for any of his actions through his entire life. He was 18 when this occurred.
Well, I remember reading either a book or seeing something on the news story. Might have been a television show, though, or it might have been one of these crime shows where they investigate and report. And, you know, there are some unique defenses that come along once in a while where a person can get life instead of, having the death penalty because of various circumstances. Yeah. But every case is different. I mean, I can't give you a black and white answer where it's going to be one way or the other. Every case is really different. It depends on the attorneys, the judge, and the facts, and the circumstances, and the witnesses, and all that comes into play on a case like that. So.
Okay, so a lot of it does. Okay.
All right.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We had a little phone blitz there of phones filling up. Now we have some open lines, so if you want to call the show... We have about 22 minutes left in the show, and we are here to help and serve. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673 is the number to call into the show. If you'd like to call our office... first of all, let me offer the free estate planning poster sheet. We have a full-size poster sheet. And one of our first callers there, let's see, who was that? Maybe Marie called about wanting to do her estate planning. This is the an excellent sheet for you to have to review your options. There's an article about options in estate planning. There's an article about the cost of probate. There's an article about just estate planning in general. There's a comparison article about the options. And that's the five articles on the front, five nice big articles on the front side of this poster sheet. On the back side, there's a sheet about all of the website information, all the little buttons you can push on the website for information, like even the fee schedule for services that we render. There's the attorneys are listed, the phone numbers and all the office locations we have are listed with the local phone numbers, and more information about the different radio shows we do in the different areas. If you would like that, it's free. And if you'd like to call, make a call to the office to make an appointment, or maybe talk to Mr. Frazier that we just talked to about VA Medicaid planning, there's a toll-free office number to request the poster sheet and or make an appointment. 727, let me give the 800 number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. And that's extension 200 you go to ask for the poster sheet and or make an appointment. If you'd like to email me your name and address and tell me you want to make an appointment and or receive the free poster sheet, you can simply send an email to Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. We'll give that out probably one more time at the end of the show. Let's go to Mary in Largo. Hey, Mary.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
My pleasure.
I have a question about what the difference is between a quit claim deed and a ladybird deed with regard to property.
All right. Well, quit claim deed, we primarily use them in estate planning to when you create a living trust to transfer the property to your trust. The benefit of doing that is the successor trustee, if you became incapacitated, could take over and deal with the property in any way that best serves your interest. And upon death, the property in the trust avoids probate. A ladybird deed is often referred to as a life estate deed. So, and this would be an enhanced life estate deed where you deed the property from yourself to yourself, reducing your ownership to a life estate, the right to live there. And then upon your death, there's an automatic beneficiary on the real estate deed to whoever you want it to go to. So you're giving up a little bit of ownership, but you're avoiding probate upon death. And the difference, I think, is it's better, a trust is better, in my opinion, because the successor trustee can do whatever they need to do with the property while you're living, not having to wait for the transfer until death. And if you already have a trust, you wouldn't consider a life estate deed because the property can be into the trust.
Can both the quitclaim deed or the ladybird deed be in a trust, in a revocable trust?
Well, the remainder interest can be the trust.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The remainder interest in the life estate deed could be the trust. But that, to me, that just creates an extra step. And there's no reason not to put it in the trust now.
So the ladybird deed doesn't go in trust?
Not as the owner, because you are the owner with the life estate. But my suggestion usually is when people come in to ask me to compare the differences in which one they want to do, I would choose the trust and not the ladybird deed, and not even make the remainder interest upon death on the ladybird deed the trust. Just have it go directly to who you want it to go to.
Hmm.
Now, if you have 20 beneficiaries and part of them are minors, then I might have a little different answer. So, I mean, every kind of circumstance you can create might tweak the answer a little bit. But basically, I answered your question about the difference between a trust or a quitclaim deed and a life estate deed. All right?
Okay. So, yes, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mary. Let's go to Carl in Tampa.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Mr. Pippin. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I just have a question. You said the state of Florida, it's considered a homestead. Can someone put a lien against your home if the loan was borrowed? Do you personally sign for a loan that has nothing to do with your home?
All right, ask me that again. I part of that was a little garbled.
Okay. Can a lien be placed on your home when a loan was filed, but the loan was not paid off if it was not against your lien? Like if the business was...
For a valid lien to be against the home, it has to be a mortgage with the home as collateral. And, of course, a creditor with a mortgage on your home can, with you don't pay, they can go through foreclosure, take the home away from you. If you have a loan not associated with the home, it's just an IOU, a promissory note, or some type of loan on a car, for example, and you default on that loan, the creditor on that loan cannot take your home.
They cannot take my home, but can they put a lien against the home so that whenever I sell the home, they have to be paid off?
No, the lien would not stick on the homestead. Now, if you sell the home...
I'm a client of yours.
What now?
I'm a client of yours, so I think I need to come in and speak to you about it, because I have quite a few situations that I think I need to get resolved.
Okay. Well, I'd be glad to talk to you again. Sure.
Okay. All right. I'll set up an appointment then so I can come in and speak with you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you. All right. All right. So let's give out the number. You have about 15 minutes left in the show. Let's give you the number at 877 to call, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Sandra in Tampa.
Hello.
Hello.
I just had a suggestion for the lady that called regarding the high car insurance premium, if she's still listening. Has she tried the Hartford insurance? It's if you're an AARP member, they give you a lower rate.
All right. Well,
that was all.
There you go. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye.
All right. All right, so you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, we have a little time left in the show. I'd love to talk to you. You have a toll-free number to call the show, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And we are very glad to be here to be able to try to help you. If you have a problem, something you've been worried about, you know you always have somebody to talk to on Saturday morning. And Saturday morning, we do our very best to give you the best advice we can possibly give you, get you pointed in the right direction, give you a little peace of mind. And that's what the show is all about. Let's go to Mary in St. Petersburg. Hey, Mary.
Hi, I have a federal tort against the VA for the probably malpractice in the treatment of my husband's cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That was called a federal tort administrative claim, and that, I think they go through mediation on that. I did it myself because a lawyer wanted to take the case at 2 years from the date of diagnosis. And I couldn't do that because you don't know what's going to happen once you get a diagnosis, how long that person's going to live and what treatment is going to take place. The next step would be to I could file in federal court if that claim is denied. But how do you find out which federal court to file in? I'm in Florida.
Yeah. I don't practice in that area, so I don't think I'm going to be able to answer your question on the radio, but I'd be glad to talk to you off the air and try to help you navigate through there and get somebody that can help you, at least give you advice on which court to fall in.
Okay. Well, thank
actually,
you very
the clerk,
much.
Actually, the clerk of the court, if you go down to the clerk of the court at the federal building, they might also be able to give you a little bit of direction, although they don't practice law and they hesitate against giving you legal advice. But sometimes the clerks, sometimes the clerks of the courts can be really, really helpful to people in those in that area.
Yes, they can. And that would be Tampa?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Benjamin in St. Petersburg.
Hello.
Hello, Benjamin.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to ask you a question right quick. I have a problem with a lawyer. I just feel like I'm getting scammed. I feel like I'm kind of stuck with him. We had a few disagreements and a few bad word exchanges. And I just wonder, is there anything I can do about getting another lawyer? I was told recently that I only got 5 months before my case, whatever, closed. I got injured. And it's been going on for about 4 years. And I was wondering, was there anything I can do about getting another attorney, or is it too late, or do I have to put up with these guys?
Well, this is a personal injury case?
Yes, sir.
And they haven't been able to have the case come. Have they made you an offer yet?
No, they haven't.
No, has the insurance company made you an offer?
No, they haven't made me an offer at all. They mentioned one time this year that they had got an offer, but it wasn't sufficient. They didn't mention no, you know, numbers or anything like that.
Do you have a permit?
I only talked to him in the 4 years I've been dealing with him. I only talked with him about 4 times. I barely know these guys. I got a brain injury. I can't do really much. And I got like 4 letters in 4 years. But I did make a couple of appointments, and I actually seen them personally. Other than that, everything they talk about is just like sounds like they're just trying to lowball me in some kind of way. You know, it's just all negative, and I'm like really severely injured.
Yeah. Well, so Benjamin, the thing is, you can terminate those attorneys if you can find another attorney to take the case. So, if you want to call me, I can give you the name of someone you can talk to about whether they would be willing to take the case or not. I mean, it's not somebody in my firm; it's just somebody I refer cases to. But if you want to call me,
Sure.
Call my office, yes, and I can get you the name of somebody you can talk to, and they can talk you through and whether it be worthwhile your case to change attorneys. All right.
Okay. I think you mentioned a number. I'm not sure.
I'll give out the number right at the end before the end of the show. I'll give all the numbers again and how people can get the poster sheet. All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All right.
Thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Liz in Tampa.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, you said something when you came on. I didn't think I'd have a reason to call you, but when you started talking about the policeman, I just wonder, every time I hear the story, what happened to battery? I mean, somebody bugged you or hit you or whatever, you charge them with battery. Is it not true for policemen?
Yeah, you know, that is true, and that anybody looking at that would think they would have a cause for battery, but the problem in New York City is they don't have any backing from the mayor, and charges like that get thrown out. So even if this congressman comes in and say it makes it a felony, the question is, will everybody in New York, will the prosecutors and all that in New York City even go after people, even if it's a felony? I mean, something's got to be done. I don't know what can be done in New York City.
Oh, yeah. Just, I mean, there's a break in the chain.
Yeah, the policemen, I'm sure, feel like they have no support whatsoever. So, I mean, why would you even want to...
Well, that's ridiculous. That's untenable.
Yep.
It's really
It is. It's really sad. But I thank you for calling.
Yeah. Now, could I ask you another question?
Sure.
I want to tell you something.
No, go ahead.
I get deliveries all the time. I just found out that I have medical rides. I get 10 rides a year, and I didn't know that. All these years I've had it and, you know, been struggling with how to get somewhere. And maybe there's other people out there that their insurance covers 10 rides a year or more or less or whatever. And I just wanted them to know that. And the other thing is, I just had a guest recently that ran out of cigarettes, and the places don't deliver that. But then someone told me that the liquor store will deliver cigarettes. So that's another thing for people that smoke. I don't smoke, thank God. But, anyway,
yeah, you can get delivery almost everything today. And I think people who get delivery save themselves the wear and tear of going to the store and lifting heavy stuff, and it doesn't cost that much. And then car insurance, and, you know, people can use their smartphone, get really smart, and get delivery on almost anything these days.
Yeah, yeah. And I have a hip problem, and I was just so tired of trying to get around the store and pick out stuff I needed. So
there you go.
It's been a blessing to me. Okay.
Well, all right. Thanks. And there are a lot of there are a lot of people who could change their life a little bit, not have the car, save money, get themselves off the road, which sometimes they are a danger to be on the road anyway. Get themselves off the road, save money on their car insurance, car repairs, everything, all the costs associated with the cars. Go smart with a smartphone, get delivery on a lot more things, and when you need to go somewhere, arrange for transportation through Uber or Lyft or one of those services. And if you, depending on where you live, the facility you have might have transportation also. Let's go to Tom in Tampa.
Thanks for taking my call. Revocable trust related question. My mother lives in a condominium in Safety Harbor, Florida. There's a revocable trust that condominium's in. I am her BOA, and I manage her affairs. A couple of years back, I had to evict a brother from the property that was exploiting her, and she's middle stage Alzheimer's. I handle all her affairs. Unfortunately, I had to execute the successor trustee clause under the trust, which I did with a doctor's order and so forth. And I have an attorney who executed a acceptance of the trustee act act document, which I signed, which would make me successor trustee. Here's my question. Sorry for all the lead-in. Under probate and so forth, obviously it's in a revocable trust. Today we get all the tax bills and everything with Phyllis Elgin as trustee. Probably shouldn't say the last name on the air, but and you know the deed and so forth. So trustee, first last name is trustee. Now that I'm successor trustee, do I need to actually have my name as the trustee on all those documents to avoid probate, like the deed, like the tax bills?
No, sir. No, you're gonna only need your name as trustee on the active financial accounts where you need to be a trustee now. The deed and all those things, you'll be able to proceed with a death certificate anyway without putting your name on those properties now. So I don't think the deeds have to be redone. At time of death, you file the death certificate. You have to do an affidavit of trust if you sell the property, and it's a whole different way to go about deeds as opposed to financial accounts.
So Joe, just a follow-on to that to make absolutely sure I understand what you're saying. The only asset in the revocable trust today and always is the property, is the actual property. Everything else I just have jointly in both names with me as PLA.
Okay, so you don't have to do anything with the county on the deed to the real estate now.
Okay, so if she dies today, that even though it says Phyllis Elgin trustee on that deed, I'm good as far as probate's concerned.
Yeah, you just file the death certificate, and when you sell the property, you do an affidavit of trust.
Okay, you're my new best friend. I might need some other advice. I'm going to be contacting you.
All right. Well, very good.
Thank you so much. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you. So we have two callers on hold here, but let me quickly give you the contact information for the law office. If you'd like to, we do free reviews on documents. We have free first meetings, free consults. We have 20 office locations around Florida. If you want to contact us for a meeting or if you want to contact us for the free estate planning poster sheet, it's the same number. We'd love to mail that to you. It's 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you want to email me for it, I need your name and address. So if you want to email me, you want to make an appointment, you can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Let's go to Michael and Valrico, our 15th caller today. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Good, thank you, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
My
pleasure. Just real quick, I live in HOA. I rent from a property manager. I received a phone call last week saying, do I have a dog, which I do. It's on the lease. And the HOA had sent a letter out by mail saying you have to get your pet registered for when they go to the bathroom in the yard and stuff like that to get a saliva test. I never received the letter because I do not receive my mail at the place I live. I have a separate post office box. And the property manager stated that I might have to pay a $1,000 fine because I did not get my pet registered, which I never got the letter because I don't get my mail there. Which they
well, let me ask you this: do you have the pet registered now properly?
No, this was just last week. No, sir. No, not yet. No, sir. No, sir.
I would just do it as quickly.
I'm looking into it.
I would do it as quickly as you can, get the information into the office there, and then hopefully they won't try to fine you.
Okay. That's what I was wondering, if there's any legal standings on that or not.
Yeah, get it done quickly and get the papers in quickly before they do anything, you know?
Okay. And good stuff. Thank
just
you,
be
sir.
Proactive. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Let's go to Heather in Sarasota.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. This will be really quick. I moved from Maryland to Sarasota about 3 years ago. And in Maryland, I had a will and trust set up.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is, do I just need to have an addendum to change my address? Or do I need to do anything?
No, well, attorney needs to look at it, make sure it's signed, witnessed, notarized properly under Florida law. Florida has what's called self-proving documents where you don't have to find or prove the witnesses. If we were talking to you, we would look at your will, tell you if it's okay. The first sentence of the will says you are a resident of Maryland. And
I was a resident.
Yeah, well, yeah. The will says you are. I mean, so you talk about change.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
So to do an amendment to the will, or most of the time we just do a new will. It's the same price. It's $125. And the same time, we give you a discussion about wills and trust and what your options are and what the consequences are. You know, so one question is, do you own a home and do you want your will to go through probate? So if the answer is no, you might consider a trust. What part of Maryland did you live in?
Gaithersburg.
Gaithersburg, okay. I lived in Maryland right after college. Took a job in Dundalk and went to the University of Baltimore Law School down on Charles Street, downtown Baltimore.
Oh, no, it will. Sure,
so,
sure.
I was there for 11 years, so... All right.
Oh, then the last favor, then. Could you give me the phone number? I think the closest office to me would be Lakewood Ranch.
Yeah, Lakewood Ranch.
Am I correct?
Yes. So
phone number?
Yeah, I'll give you the toll-free number. 1-800.
226-3529.
You can just go to extension 200. The young lady that answers the phone there will be glad to get you connected.
Thank you very much.
All right,
Heather. I listen to your show a lot. I enjoy it. You do a great service.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Goodbye.
You. You have a great weekend. You've been listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're here every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. We're here to help you and glad to do so. Glad to be here and glad to be of whatever help we can. If you'd like to call our office again, it's 1-800-226-3529. And you have a great, wonderful weekend. Be safe out there. So long.